Baseline Cool Tech, February 21, 2005.
Coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky, it's the Blind Cool Tech Podcast, the podcast about ordinary, everyday blind people. Now, here's the host of Blind Cool Tech, the fastest talking guy in Kentucky, Mr. Excitement, Larry Scoochcon.
Hey, y'all. Let me drink. I'd like to invite you to join me to... Join me on the walk while we talk about a couple of things that are rather interesting. Is it pretty cold on this morning? I think I'm 31. So, actually, doesn't seems kind of nice, really. Good boy, little buddy. Today's trash day, so we'll be going around a few large trash cans. Yeah, a couple things I wanted to talk with you about. One of them, I'll just start out with. This morning I'm using the Olympus WS320M. With the innovative specialist microphones I was telling you about earlier, I'm actually wearing a kind of a stocking cap kind of thing with the face cut out of it. So those are acting like the windscreens, although there's no wind out here at all this morning. A little bit of ice on the sidewalks. Jake, he's a good boy. Pretty good about watching out for him. I'm not going to brag, though, because as soon as I do, I'll bust it. Got a great email from, good boy, little buddy, from Matt Campbell on our Linux discussion, and one of the, let that traffic get by there. One of the things he suggested was setting up a kind of a conference call with a Linux expert, Windows expert, and maybe a couple moderators, and just go through the tasks. Good boy. Have each one, perform a specific task. Whether it be something in word processing or OCR or what have you, spreadsheets, browsing, whatever. But also Matt brought up some pretty interesting points about the discussion of the Linux GUI, and he did make the excellent point that, among others, that the advantage of using the GUI is that you have a better selection of more modern new applications that are under development. So, that is absolutely true, too. There's still a lot of things that do run under the console, but the major amount of work is being done with the GUI. And, it brings up a question. Good boy. There you go. That's it, little buddy. Brings up the question, do you really need to have an OSM in the Linux GUI? You know, he was, Matt being here, he was mentioning that Peter Korn, who you may remember from the Berkeley Systems days and now at Sun, has done a lot of work with accessibility under what's called the GNOME desktop. And I know the University of Georgia, like I mentioned, I think, did an extensive amount of work for the X environment. So, if, you know, some of you all know some more information about that, please do share it with us. I don't know why someone has not done an OSM yet. Whoa, there's some slick eyes. I've got some of these things that slip over your shoes. They have cleats in the bottom of them. But I've really only used them once or twice. There was some discussion on the list about dogs in cold weather. And they actually, as a couple people pointed out, love the cold. I don't know what it is. I know there could be an extreme, but I mean, Jake right now is just prancing. You probably hear his toenails. I mean, he's just tooling right along. And they seem to get friskier and have more energy. But the salt is a problem. One of the things that fascinates me on a detour out in the street right here. It's just too close. At least I'm assuming we're in it. Nobody's honking at us or trying to run us over or anything. Alright, I'm back on the side. One of the things that fascinates me about a dog in the snow is the night after a big snow, when you know you look out on the landscape and there's no footprints and you can't ever tell that there were any streets or sidewalks, it's just all level. Well, if you take your dog, listen to this, man, this is so pretty. If you take your dog and walk in that, he stops at every curb, just like he can see him, even if it's a foot down there or whatever. It's amazing. And I think what bothers dogs more than the cold is the heat. I may have already told you, Freddy, my guide dog before Jake, actually went on strike on me one hot August afternoon. It was about, it had to be a good 96, 98 maybe. And we got about, three or four blocks from APH there on the way home, and he just stopped and sat down. And, you know, I've always heard or read that when a dog does that, they know when to quit. So I just called my daughter and asked her to come pick us up. But cold weather, piece of cake for me. It was a gorgeous, peaceful morning. So I wonder why nobody has written an off-screen model. And you know what? I think we've mentioned before here, an off-screen model is what Jaws and Window Eyes and Mobile Speak Pocket, the program will monitor what's being put onto the video display and intercept it and keep track of where that text is, what size it is. And it is actually quite a bit more interesting a challenge than one might think at the first glance of such a problem. Good boy. Because there's a lot of graphics manipulation that goes on the screen as well. For instance, in Windows, a lot of times a program may put up a dialogue, and when that dialogue is dismissed, I've seen, you know, instead of the original application redrawing the portion of the dialogue, it just, well, it was actually Windows doing this. It just preserved a bitmap of what was there and then restored that bitmap. And the off-screen model, has to keep track of all that. Has to keep track of all that information. Good duck. So it's been documented that a good OSM is about 2 man-years worth of work, and I would think that's fairly accurate. I would also think that, good boy, slow down, show me a little pile of snow there. He's a good doggy. I'd also think that since you had the source code for the operating system, you could potentially save quite a bit of time from that, because some of that 2 man-years worth of work is having to figure out undocumented features, so to speak, of the operating system, Windows in that case, where you don't have the source code. So I think you could be able to actually cut a little time off the development with, if you did have all that source code, and you do, under Linux. Why hadn't somebody done this already? I know Peter Korn argues that the days of the OSM are gone, and it's a better idea for the application to provide the accessibility information. And I agree with that 100%. It is a good idea. The application knows more about its document than the operating system or the screen reader does, so why not let it supply the information? Two problems with that. Not everybody follows the rules. So when you get a program that doesn't work, you've got to resort to the OSM. Right, in a perfect world, you wouldn't need it. But there's a lot of cases too where you actually think about a little sniffing going on there, buddy. You know, and the thing with the screen reader too is that sometimes you may want information from the system as opposed to having an application provided. Just think, for instance, if you wanted to, look at the layout of your desktop and see what all windows were up there. Not something that, actually, granted, that you would do very often, but that's just a hypothetical example. A bad one. Good boy. So Matt also suggested that another answer to our frequently asked question discussion and how to maintain that and make sure it's full of appropriate information is to put it into a database and use PHP scripts to present that information dynamically. And then each person that is the editor of that section of the FAQ would have the read and write permissions to enter that information. Yeah, that does sound like a good approach. PHP is actually something that I started to dabble around with a little bit. I just need to make myself sit down and get into it a little more. Good boy. Okay. Good job. That's it, little buddy. Man, what a great morning for the walk. Just got that good nip in the air. We might just have to stop and get a bagel this morning, Jakey. Got an email this morning too from someone who is wanting to, and I want to do this too, I just don't know a really effective way of doing it in an automated fashion anyway, to strip the audio from old DVDs or recorded shows like on your media center or whatever. I'd come a lot closer to watching some things too, and I thought about this and began looking into it. I never really did get very far. So if any of you do know some good automated ways to get the audio out of some of those kinds of files, let us know. Be an interesting podcast. Good dog. Have you signed the Google visual verification petition yet? I really am urging anyone who cares at all about accessibility to sign this. I don't know that signing that petition is going to be a significant thing or not, but hey, it's a step in that direction. For those of you that don't know, could go a little bit. This visual verification is used as a way to make sure that you're a human rather than a, some kind of spam program to gain access to some feature. I got caught the other day, in fact. I was reading a really interesting article about microphones, and there was a link on this webpage to send the article to someone, email it to someone. So I filled in the email address, and sure enough, right there was a CAPTCHA, as it's called, a word verification. You have to type the letters and the numbers. You know, it really is a shame when we devote so much energy to the darker side of computing, trying to avoid this spam like this, viruses. It's necessary, unfortunately, and I think we're better off in the long run from, you know, some kind of unexpected attack by being too complacent. But it really is a shame. Good dog. You are just tearing up this morning, aren't you, little buddy? Yeah. So anyway, no one has done, to my knowledge, an off-screen model for the Linux GUI. Now, Matt was also telling me that, you know, Mark had worked for Sun for a while, apparently doesn't anymore, and had been working on Copernicus, which is a, well, it's an access system for the GNOME desktop. And I tried it about a year ago, and it had a ways to go. It was cool. Let's go right. Good boy. Good dog. We're going to cross Frankfurt here. We usually go straight. It's easier to get to Nancy's Bagels this way. Not a car on the road right here. You know who I've got to interview, too? I was just thinking about this morning. Is Fred Gassone. This guy really is the inventor of the Braille speak, and really been in the technology field, and as a pioneer. Actually, Kentucky was a pioneering state, and Fred was a pioneering innovator in the technology area in Kentucky. And he still works at APH as customer support after he retired from the state. Fascinating guy. Lives right down the street from me, in fact, oddly enough. Good boy. Good dog. Okay, we're going to take this little path, right? There you go. Good duck. Goes down over the railroad track. And we're at the track right now. Then there's like four steps on the other side. There we go. Good boy. There's traffic clear up here. Good doggy. That's it, little buddy. Well, I hope I don't fall on any ice. I got a pocket full of gear on me today. This was thinking about that because there's a little spot there. Every time I come to Nancy's Bagels now, I think of Stephen Guerra. That podcast he did on the bagels. Good boy. That's it. This guy is a character. He loves his food, dude. But he made that pumpernickel bagel sound so good. I believe he was recommending scallion cream cheese, but they didn't have it here, so I had to settle for herb and garlic, I think it was. But this morning, I'm going to try it with jalapeno. Coming up to it here in just a moment, yeah. Let me just... I'd like a pumpernickel bagel with jalapeno cream cheese.
All
right.
Me?
You're a good boy, little buddy. Nope, I don't even need a bag.
No bag. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Have a
great day. You too. Good boy. Well, you don't want to get back out there, do you? All right, good talk. I see he pulled right up to that door when we went in. But I think that's just because we went a different way this morning. He kind of probably knew. Sometimes he goes in there when we go this way. So nothing remarkable there. It's kind of cool. Now the little suckers won't do that sometimes when you want them to either. I had one of my dogs that... for some reason did not like the dentist's office. So he'd go past it both ways, knowing that's where we were going. And there's the smell of the, we were talking about scents the other day. Right here is the kind of a smell of burnt sugar. And, for years and years, I thought it was home ec class at KSB gone awry, you know. It turns out it's a company called D.D. Williamson, I believe, that makes caramel coloring. I think it's probably one of the, supposedly one of the only companies that does this. And I guess part of their process is burning sugar. So if the wind's right, you can smell that over this neighborhood. It's another unique characteristic of this old neighborhood here. Good boy. Guy's all the way out in the freaking street. Good dog. Yeah, now you don't smell the burns anymore. So, there's a lot of times when you do really benefit from an OSM, even though you theoretically should be able to get by without one. You know, it'd be interesting if one were to take on a project like this to help actually design the operating system to be more efficient where accessibility were concerned from that level. And I guess really that's what this GNOME project is, or this Copernicus project is doing. And Matt tells me Mark went off and worked on Orca as well. Now, I have not tried Orca. If any of you have, that'd be some great information. Alright, well, we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up for this morning. Good boy. Really enjoyed having you along on the walk. Like I've said many times, it's actually quite therapeutic to take a good morning walk and talk out loud. Talk with your friend, even though your friend might not be there. Hey, could you guys hear? Good boy. Right there on the right back there. It was a enclosed bus stop, and we walked by it. I'm curious to see whether the echo from that kind of cavernous opening, or not the echo, but the sound difference, because I could really easily tell it, you know, just hearing it live. So we'll have to check that out on those microphones. All right. Y'all have a good one. Got lots of more. Hey there. That's what Jake is high-stepping about. Another doggy. Alright, we're in front of KSB. Going over their driveway. Hoping I got one turning in here. I got a busy day at work today. We finally got the alarms straightened out in the Hookport Beta. So it looks like we may be making a release of that software in the very near future, as well as a release of a new version of BookWizard Reader. That's the DAISY digital talking book reading software.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.